Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
All right, good singing tonight. I want to invite you to take your Bibles here for a few minutes and turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 1, is where we'll be here tonight. As you turn there, picture in your mind what it would be like to sit in a prison situation of some sorts. That's not a positive thing to consider, really. It's been some time here of being in jail and facing hardships. You don't have the freedom that you once had. But even though you're in this jail-type situation, you don't have all this freedom, you're still seeing God at work in some situations. You're still seeing God do some things. There's some uncertainty of the future. There's some restrictions, obviously, upon your life. And yet, even though you're in a situation like this, there is something that is just thrilling your soul. There's something that is just exciting you, even though you're in this restricted situation. You don't understand and know what the future is going to hold here. The thing that provides joy to you is a group of people. The thing that provides joy to you is a church. This church isn't like other churches. Really, this church that you're thinking about that brings you such joy is unique. There's something about this church that is just different from other churches that sticks out to you. And to be honest, really every time you think about this church, it just thrills your soul. Every time you pray for this church, you're excited about this church here. What is it about this church that could bring such joy to this situation? What is it about this church that even though they aren't communicating necessarily like we could in modern times with all the texting and the email and things like that, I mean, it's not like they see each other, and yet there's something about this church that brings joy to this person in this prison situation. What are these people like? What have they done? And I want to tell you that what it is that the Philippians had done, the Philippian church had done, was something that brought incredible joy to the Apostle Paul as he was in this prison situation. And the thing that they had done is the burden that's upon my heart for my own life for this next year and for our church as we look forward to this next year. Really, there are two words, that are upon my mind for our church this next year. The first word, you'll not be surprised to hear me say, it's the word fellowship. It's the word that I've considered a great deal since I've come here for different reasons. God's brought it upon my mind over and over and again, this matter of fellowship and true Christian fellowship, how important it is. The other word that's a challenge to my mind and really is an area in which I need to grow in my own life is the word the gospel. And be involved in spreading the gospel and sending forth the gospel. And so these two words are here and they're important. And yet, here in this passage of Scripture, we have these two words that have been woven together in one verse. A key statement, a key verse for us to consider. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage and the example of the Philippian church. We pray that this year you would do this same work in our church. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. And so here the thing that Paul was excited about the Philippian church was their fellowship in the gospel. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is my heart's desire for my own life. This is my prayer for our church as a whole. That we would grow and continue to take more steps in our fellowship of the gospel. Now I want you to see this truth here very briefly. We're looking just at mainly at verse number 5 here tonight. I want you to be challenged by this phrase by looking at four simple truths that are brought out from this verse. We're first of all going to see the partnership. Then we'll talk also about the people in the verse, the period or the time frame, And we'll conclude by looking at the pledge. Notice first of all the partnership. He says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship. He draws attention to their fellowship. Fellowship, as we have already considered, is a commonness or a sharing. It's where two different people have something that's in common that unites them together. They have a relationship that they share amongst the two of them. And of course, we understand as Christians that the relationship that we share is in our Lord Jesus Christ. They associate together. There's a communion. There's a community that brings them together because they have this shared relationship. But what they share on the inside comes out on the outside. There is a shared action that goes with it as well. Because they share a relationship with Jesus Christ on the inside, they share a life together in how they treat each other on the outside. That's true fellowship. And so it's very appropriate to call it a partnership. Partaking of something with another person. And Christianity has that fellowship. A sharing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet a partnering in each other's lives. Investing in each other's lives. Sharing in the lives of other people. That's Christian fellowship. That's what's there. And yet I think though Paul could have had that thought in his mind, he's really being a little bit more specific about the certain kind of fellowship in this passage because he says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. They were sharing in the gospel. Now this expression, the gospel, is going to be very important to the Apostle Paul. He's going to use the word gospel several times in the rest of chapter 1, and then he'll use it three other times in the rest of the book. He's going to talk about in verse number 7, I won't read the verse, but you can glance at some of these as I talk about them. He's going to talk about defense and the confirmation of the gospel. In verse number 12, he's going to say that, listen, all these difficulties that have happened in my life, God's actually used them to advance the gospel. He's going to talk about that. In verse number 17, he says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. In verse number 27, he says, your life, it needs to fit with the gospel. You need to match the gospel, walk worthy of the gospel. In verse number 27, he also challenges them to strive together for the faith of the gospel. So the gospel is on his mind when he's writing chapter number 1 here. And he says, listen, I'm so excited and I'm so thrilled, and the thing that brings me great joy is because you guys are fellowshipping with me in the gospel. And first of all, that would mean he was excited because they were believers. And they shared that common relationship. And what a wonderful thing that is to start with that common ground. How exciting it is, and it was here for Paul, to think that there in Philippi, where there had been no church, he walked in on his second missionary journey and preached the gospel, and people got saved, and the Philippian jailer got saved, and a church was born there. And these people were partakers of the gospel with him. They'd trust Christ as Savior. That's an exciting thing. It's a thrilling thing to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the more you walk with Him, the more you're excited about it. But they didn't just share, you know, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, we're both Christians. It wasn't just that sense of sharing the gospel, though that's awesome. They shared in the advance of the gospel. They were fellowshipping in the gospel. They were partakers of the same gospel work that Paul was involved in. They were participating. Paul's here, he's a missionary, and he's going out preaching the gospel, and these people were partaking of it. They were partners with him in trying to help him spread the gospel message there. They were fellowshipping in that way. I have some friends of mine that are a young couple, and they've grown up in church, and they've grown up serving the Lord with their lives, and God's not called them to be a pastor or a missionary or anything like that. But their heart's desire and their heart's burden has just been, and God's led them to move a couple different times, but wherever they've moved to, their desire has always been to come and to find a church that needs help and to invest in that church, to help out that pastor. And so here they are, and they're coming in and they're being involved in this church. They are fellowshipping in the gospel. They're there to come in and dig in and to serve the Lord in that area. Fellowshipping in the gospel. Working in that way. And boy, if you were to read through Philippians, you would find that they fellowshipped in the gospel by just being an encouragement to Paul, even when he was facing this persecution. He wanted to encourage Paul. They wanted to be a blessing to Paul, even though he was going through this rough time. Chapter 4 and verse 14 brings that out. They participated in the gospel by financially helping him. They gave to him. They sent things to help meet his needs. They participated in the gospel in that way. And then they participated in the gospel by working in the gospel. I already quoted the verse from verse 27. He challenged them to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 4, I believe it is, he talks about women who were laboring together in the gospel. Chapter 2, he tells them that they need to hold forth the word of life there. He challenges them to preach the gospel, as it were. He challenges them to live rightly so their life matches with the gospel. They were participating in the gospel. They were partners in the gospel by being an encouragement to people in the gospel, by financially supporting people that were in the gospel, and by in their own lives, there was a sense in which they were partnering together to see the gospel go forward. Listen, that's what we want to have in our heartbeats this year. That in all of our life, not really just this year, but in the rest of our life, that you think of Christianity and you say, I'm a partner in this. I'm in. I'm not just someone that's riding the bench here. I'm not just someone that's on the sidelines here. But I'm in. I'm investing in this thing. I'm committed to it here. I'm a partner. I'm fellowshipping here. I'm sharing in it. I'm helping the cause of Christ to go forward. And it's something that's active upon our mind. It's something that we're working on in our life. Man, no wonder Paul was excited. Because here was a church, and they were fellowshipping. They were partners in the gospel. So we saw the partnership a little bit quicker. We'll look at the people. Notice back to verse number 5. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. The word your there is referring to this church here, and it's a plural word. He's not talking to one person. He's talking to the church. And this church as a whole was known as being partners in the gospel. This church as a whole, we're not talking about just one or two people. We're not talking about just one couple. We're talking about a church that had the reputation where people were involved in sharing the gospel, where people were committed to the gospel work here. And that's an exciting thing when you have a whole group of people, a whole church, where it's the reputation of the church that, hey, listen, the people in that church, they are committed to the gospel and advancing the gospel work of God. I mean, we want to be a church that says, as we considered even on Sunday, we know what the gospel is and we're going to stand authoritatively and lovingly and declare what it is. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to speak the gospel here. And whether we do it locally or whether we do it in our own course of life and whether we do it in, as part of the church and whether we do it in sending forth missionaries, all these different avenues, we're a part of it. We're in. We're going to do it to others. There have been times when I've come home to our house and found, I can remember on one specific occasion that all five of my children were downstairs in the basement, not playing, not goofing off or misbehaving, but all five of them were cleaning the basement vigorously. It doesn't stick out to me that they had necessarily any motivation or, you know, that they wanted to do anything. But here they were, the five of them, all working together on one project in one room, cleaning the basement. It was a thrilling and exciting moment in my life. It sticks with me to this day. All right? Why? Because they were all in together, all of them working together to accomplish one project. And that's kind of the way the Philippians were here. They were in. They as a whole, the group of people there, were working hard to advance the gospel. Number 3, not only the partnership and the people, but I'd have you to notice the period. And I'm not talking about that little dot that you put at the end of your sentence, that kind of period. I'm talking about a time period. Notice the time of this. He says in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The time period had been several years. When Paul first went to Philippi, he'd been on his second missionary journey. After that, he went on his third missionary journey. And he went to Jerusalem after that, where he was arrested. And it was a couple years from his arrest, from him traveling along, before he finally ended up at Rome, where, from which he wrote this letter to the Philippians. It had been a period of several years. And yet Paul looks back and he says, listen, you guys just make me so happy. I'm so thrilled every time I think of you, because you're in there, you're partners with me in the gospel. You're going to help out in me sharing the gospel. And that's been your attitude from the first day so many years ago all the way until now. You know, when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they don't have to wait 10 years before they get involved in the gospel. They can start preaching the gospel on the first day. They can start sharing the gospel with other people. They can start being involved in the gospel right away. And it's a tragedy, it's a sad thing when there's someone who has known Christ for so long and is no longer fellowshipping in the gospel. They never started fellowshipping in the gospel. It's a sad thing when they've never really begun to make a commitment and become involved in this. From the first day, but also until now. There are some people that were fellowshipping the gospel from the first day until, not now, but until their eyes got off Christ, or until something else became important, or until something happened, and no longer were they fellowshipping in the gospel as they once were. They stopped. They slacked off. But these Philippians, this church, you look at the period of time here and he says, listen, I'm so excited every time I think of you guys, every time I pray about you guys, I'm just rejoicing because you guys are fellowshipping, you're partners with me in the gospel, and for this entire time period you have been. It's a pretty thrilling, pretty exciting thing. Which brings us to our final truth. The excitement of this is the pledge. The guarantee. There's something that he's confident about. Verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think what's going on in this passage is he looks at these people and he says, wow, as I look at you guys and you're involved in the gospel and it's your heartbeat to want to tell others about Christ and support me in the work as a missionary, he says, you know what, I have no doubt, I guarantee, I'm sure that you're a Christian. I'm sure that God is working in your life and He's going to continue to change you and mold you and shape you all the way until the day our Lord returns. I know it. Because I can see in your life. I can see in your life that there's something about you wanting to be involved in the gospel work. It was bearing fruit. That pledge, that certainty. And may that be the case for us, that everybody looks at us, and not that we're trying to be fake, and certainly we understand that some people could do that for do it just to look good. But boy, we love the gospel and we want to advance it, and God's giving fruit through our lives, and as a result, people can say, you know what, I can see Christ in you. There's no doubt God's working in your life, and He's going to continue to make changes and mold you to be like Christ all the way until the day of the Lord's return. So the Christian life here that was so exciting, this church that was so thrilling, was because of their fellowship in the gospel. It was a thrilling thing. So I want to challenge you this year with those two words, fellowship in the gospel. We want to fellowship, we want to be involved in the lives of other people, but we also want to be fellowshipping in the gospel, partnering, working together, having it upon our minds to continue to take the gospel forward in so many different ways. Many years ago, there was a U.S. manufacturer, factory, a person who owned a factory. And he had a guest from Albania that had come overseas to America that was looking at some equipment that this man made in his factory. And so this U.S. man was giving a tour to his guest from Albania of the factory, and it just so happened that the tour was taking place right around lunchtime, and all of a sudden the whistle blew, and all of the workers stopped what they were doing, and they went walking out of the factory for their lunch. And the man from Albania said, stop, stop, you got to get your people, they're all running away from your factory. You can't let them get away, quick. The man said, don't worry about it. The whistle will blow again at 1 o'clock and they'll be back. And so they continued on to the tour, and sure enough, 1 o'clock came, lunch period was over there, and the whistle blew, and all of the workers came marching back in and got back to work there in the factory. The man continued with his tour, and he got all done, and he looked at the man from Albania, and he said, "Now you've seen our factory and the equipment that we make here. What piece of machinery would you like to buy from us?" The man said, "Machinery? I don't want to buy machinery. I want to buy that whistle." He was convinced that the reason those people came back was because of the whistle. And listen, in a sense, that's what we're looking for this year from the Holy Spirit of God, to be that whistle that calls us back to the work, that calls us to serve God and to spread the gospel and be involved in laboring in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this year, we've considered already in our service the past, but let us consider 2015 and the fellowship of the gospel. Be challenged with those words. May we be a place that brings such rejoicing to our Lord as He considers the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.